The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so a lot of the focus today has been on restlessness, but the second part of this fourth hindrance is remorse, and the traditional wording is remorse, and here in the West we often translate it as worry or anxiety or something like that. To broaden it so more people can find themselves in it. But what worry and maybe remorse have in common is it has to do with things which are unresolved, either unresolved from the past or unresolved about the future. And we're concerned about how things are going to turn out or what's going to happen. We're afraid or something about the future. But it has to do with things being unresolved. And when things are sometimes unresolved, actually one meditation teacher was asked by, I think, a high school class that she was introducing to meditation. They asked them, what happens in meditation? And she said, well, all the things which are unresolved come up. It wasn't what they expected. They expected, you know, calm and bliss and all that. So there's something about, that the meditation path, sooner or later, will flush out the unresolved issues that are there. Some are long forgotten, but still unresolved, and then they suddenly come up and we're surprised. Sometimes they're very recent and very well known. We know what it's about. And sometimes the unresolved issues that we have to face and deal with can be dealt with through meditation, settle something. And sometimes meditation is not the answer, but rather doing something in the world is the answer. Going and making amends or making a change or do something has to actually happen. Not just an inner kind of movement that has. And so the idea of what's unresolved because we have regrets about it, unresolved because it's unfinished, unresolved because it just keeps bugging us. There's a whole. So what I'd like to do for you to do for the next 10, 15 minutes or so is take a piece of paper, and I have some extra paper here and pens too if you don't have enough, if I don't have it. And in our kind of meditative space, write down a list of the things that you can think of which are unresolved for you. And perhaps you can't think of anything. Or perhaps the top 10 or top 20 or something, or top 100 come really easily. And then hopefully this period is long enough that maybe you're actually sitting in silence and just kind of reflecting and let it kind of bubble up and kind of just see what comes up in the silence that you kind of meditate on this topic of what is unresolved. And you're not going to share this with anybody, so except yourself, unless you want to show it to someone later. But this can be very private, so you have that safety, you know that's the case. And so please, that's the assignment. Who needs paper and pens? Okay, so I have lots of paper, and maybe you can help pass it out. And pens? Yeah, so. And you can start when you're ready. Certainly, Buddhist practice is much broader than meditation, but after all, we are a meditation center here. So one of the questions for you now is, the things on your list, which of them come up during meditation? Do any of them in some way, are they there in the background, in the foreground, and some of the things that keep you maybe restless or distracted while you try to meditate? And why don't you spend a little bit of time, a couple of minutes, why don't you look at your list and consider that little bit for yourself. And then as you look at your list of, and if you have the idea or the hope to be able to resolve some of these unresolved things, which of them do you think are best resolved through inner personal work, like meditation or something? And which you think are better resolved by actually require you actually do something in the world? Talk to someone, do something. And which do both, require both? And if you look at your list as a whole, all of them, and if the list as a whole is a mirror, in some way is a mirror of yourself, somehow you see yourself in that list, what might be the inner work that you're called to do, that you need, what do you need to look at in yourself? What do you need to work on in yourself? What do you need to let go of in yourself? In somehow being able to address the list of unresolved issues. What does this list say about you? And then finally, a little bit of repeat perhaps, but how is it that meditation practice can be helpful? In what way can meditation practice be helpful for addressing your list or some of the items in your list? What's the role meditation might have, or mindfulness? Okay. So, thank you very much for participating and doing that. And now, I thought it'd be nice if some of you might be willing not to tell us what's on your list. That's going to be private. But some of your thoughts about how meditation or mindfulness might help you or support you in resolving or dealing with some of those things on the list. What's the role meditation might have for this? So, there.
Before you asked that question, I looked at the list, and I got writer's cramp. But I looked at my list, and I thought each one of the things on my list were things that occurred when I think mindfulness and presence of mind was on a holiday. And, you know, I don't even understand why some of the things happened or some were so long ago they'll never get resolved. But I think the role of meditation in this exercise or in general is kind of obvious to me. To create more mindfulness or presence of mind in more moments than when I'm just meditating.
Great. So you have less things to feel unresolved about or regret right. Later on. Thank you very much. If there was Jen wanted Mike to.
Mine was so future oriented. So I got that I thought of the serenity prayer and mindfulness to help me sort through what I can do something about and what I can't, and stop spending so much time on the stuff I just can't do anything about right now. Or
great.
Ever.
Okay, thank you.
Now I'm on record. By generating compassion for myself and for things that I can't, you know, that are in the past and that I can't do anything about, by having compassion for my mistakes.
Great. So developing compassion for yourself and for your mistakes is helpful. Great.
I have a lot of things on my list here, but it actually falls in very few categories, and a couple of which is to spend more time with friends and family. Makes me realize how much time it's devoted to work and not do any of the other things. And I think mindfulness, meditation in general, these issues arise and help me to think about aligning how I spend my time.
Oh, beautiful. So meditation helps you align your life with your values. You set your helps with priorities.
One of the ways that meditation is useful for me is almost as a way to map my inner geography. Like some of the things that are on my list as unresolved, I wouldn't have known are unresolved without meditation and mindfulness practice.
Great, thank you. Here in the front. Found this.
Great. On my list, is this on?
Green.
Yes, it is green.
Yeah, just
hold it too close. Okay. I think a lot of the unresolved issues in my life have to do with my inability to resolve them has to do with my not wanting anyone to be angry with me. Because to resolve many of them would involve confronting people in ways that would create, I feel, some anger toward me. And what meditation practice is helpful in is allowing me to not get so caught up in the self-image that I've always had of myself as the likable person who no one gets angry with. And it sort of traps me in certain ways. And meditation practice is allowing me to see that and to not cling to that self, and actually do what it takes to resolve some of these things.
Beautiful. Thank you. May you be an unlikable person. And chances are I'll like you more than thank you. So, is the mic over here in the corner?
Part of me is a little embarrassed to say what I'm going to say, but I think what meditation does for me is to make me see that my issues are non-issues.
Great. May that help your meditation. Thank you very much.
I'm going to use meditation in a way I hadn't so far as a result of my being here today. I'm going to learn to sit with my body sensations in helping me to decide what to do with some of these things that are on my list. Coming up with more gut decisions rather than head decisions.
Beautiful. So using meditation to drop into some deeper place of knowing and intuition to know how to go through it. Thank you. Cheryl here wanted to do some.
To differentiate between doing what's right and being attached to the outcome, a number of them seems to be a thing, especially around family stuff.
Great. Thank you. Yes, okay.
Following up on what was said about being likable and unlikable, meditation can help me figure out ways to tell the truth constructively.
Hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, Gail.
This is something you referred to earlier today. It's the idea of just staying with the feelings rather than spinning off in thought. I realized from my list that that a lot of what I get involved with in meditation is really getting in other people's business. Worrying about people, you know, and what's going to happen, rather, and what I should do, rather than just being with the feelings and the bodily sensations. And meditation really helps with that.
Thank you. So one of the things I've appreciated a lot this today with, and even you know, became very, very much so in the last comments that were made. But throughout the day was a feeling of I had a feeling of kind of depth in addressing some of these issues in our lives, and that there's something about restlessness which keeps us from really meeting ourselves in some deep way, and that there was the whole group as a whole, I felt, and also individuals, I felt there was kind of a truthfulness and honesty of kind of recognizing and seeing what's here underneath that restlessness, you know. And so part of, and also this exercise now, which is, I think, a very profound exercise, and I appreciate very much that you were willing to stay present, stay here while you did it. But the to be able to touch these sides of us, ourselves, unresolved, difficult parts, and go make a list like that, not as a form of self-punishment, but rather as a way of being very truthful and honest and diving deeper into our life in a full, wholehearted way, so that the fullness of our hearts, the fullness of our practice can really flower much more into our lives. And I think, I hope that mindfulness and meditation is a way of becoming more truthful. And so that requires us to really stop and settle and really face and meet ourselves in these deep ways that we can when we take the time for it. It's also very helpful to be able to recognize what is unresolved as unresolved, so that sometimes just the recognizing of it, oh, that's unresolved, no wonder it keeps coming up. Then it's maybe easier to put it aside temporarily. Oh, yeah. So now I know what that's about. And so now maybe I can shelve that for the rest of the meditation, and I'll pick it up again later. It's unresolved, so later I'll deal with it. I'll work on it to try to address it in some way. Because otherwise, there's unresolved issues can keep coming in. Is the expression in English, dogging us? Is that the expression? Keep coming in, over and over again. And I've known people, and I've seen it in myself sometimes, where something is dogging me, something is bugging me, and I keep kind of brushing it away, that, you know, it's not really spiritual, it's not really important, it's not really, you know, whatever, you know. This is not what meditation is supposed to be about. And it keeps coming and coming and coming until finally I have to admit it or face it. And I think part of the function of meditation and mindfulness is to help us with that kind of honesty, to see ourselves. And in doing that, then the popular image of meditation becomes much more realistic. The popular image of meditation being something that helps you become calm. And then your calm is realistic and not kind of romantic. There are people who kind of will try to hold themselves kind of in a spiritually calm way that's not really real. But if you go through the turmoil of your unresolved issues and really be present for them and learn how to be present, then the calm that comes hopefully will be add much more depth and meaning for everyone concerned. So we started off the day by talking about, I talked about the times when it's just useful just to sit really still in the midst of what's happening, in the midst of whatever's happening in the body. But it could also be in the midst of what's happening in our minds or our hearts. And that it's a beautiful capacity to recognize what's happening and to find a place to rest, with take our awareness and rest our awareness in the middle of what's going on without needing to do anything about it. There are certainly times to useful to do something about things, but to have that ability to be really still, beautifully still, kind of vibrantly still with our life. And I know for me that it's most poignant to do that when things are unresolved or when I'm agitated about something. And it's harder to do it then, but it's more poignant. It's more kind of, it feels more precious when it's hard, when there's that kind of feeling, oh, you know. And to stay there close in, stay intimate, keep everything close in, and just don't do much, but feel, be present, be still in the midst of it. So I hope that when you're visited by restlessness and worry, restlessness and remorse in the future, if it should happen, that you will feel that it's really valuable to stop and pay attention to it. That you really kind of don't try to kind of push it away too quickly, but find a way to really kind of address it and be with it and experience it. And in doing that, kind of go through it rather than try to go around it. So that's what I had to say for today. We have a few more minutes. And what needs to be said here that's so we can kind of feel finished for the day? What's unfinished or unresolved here? Any questions you have or concerns at this point?
One thing that came up for me in this list, when I actually looked at things that were unresolved, were things that I wanted some kind of settledness about. And it came to me that it's all impermanent and it's going to change. And to me, that really helped the idea of being able to be with it, because it's going to change anyway. You know, to be able to be in the midst of something being unresolved, mm-hmm. knowing that even if I were to, quote, resolve it, it's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, some things can never be resolved. And so learning how to be okay with that is part of the process as well. And then some things need to be resolved. And sometimes things change, of course. Everything changes. But some things change in a healthier way if we apologize, for example. or they change in a better way quicker. So sometimes it's not just a matter of just accepting that things change, but it actually requires something from us as well. Yes, Sue? Is there a mic near at the back?
I think... one of the powerful things I'm going away from this morning with is the importance of resolve in my practice. To see all these unresolved things as unskillful behavior of myself in the past, recognizing that for what it is, and having the resolve to want to act skillfully in the future. And how much I appreciate and have gratitude for my practice and for IMC and for you, Gil.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, this woman mentioned that a lot of her unresolved things as our mind came from not paying attention at the time, not being present at the time. So the lesson for me is to, when problems come up, I often do brush them aside or just change the subject or, you know, with other people, we sort of move on, and then it's a problem instead of staying with it. Tara Brach uses that phrase, learning to stay, just learning to stay with the problem at the time it comes up, and not letting it go on for months and years.
So we have, you know, we have this wonderful bumper sticker, right? The, I break for suffering. But it could also, you know, also be another one. It would be, I stop for problems. So, how many of you still don't have the handout for today? So if you, I have, I can make some more. How many? One, two, three, four, five. There's two more here, and there's, I'll make some more there's upstairs. You wait a little bit.
I will post it online also.
Yeah, so we'll post it online. So, and the, I'm curious. You know, every month I write these up, and how many of you look at them during the month? And how many of you, you find it useful to kind of engage in and reflect on and do those things? And one of the things that I wish, if we had more time as a group together, I think it would be great to spend a little bit of time kind of digesting or talking about, debriefing what your experience of this homework is. So we don't really, haven't really had the time for that or haven't taken it. So I just want to say that, you know, just mention that. It feels like to be more complete, we would spend a little bit of time kind of on that as well. But that's something some of you can do with Inez or with friends. I keep in these handouts, I keep talking about the importance of finding someone that you can talk to about some of your reflections. And I think it's really good. And it doesn't have to be even someone you know. You sit down and you know, maybe it's better, you know, someone you meet at a bus stop or a bar or I don't know. And I put a lot of value in the process of inquiry, of deepening and exploration that can happen when we talk about some of these issues with other people, our feelings, our ideas, our various things about it. So I hope that some of you are taking the time to try to find someone to do that with, go for a walk or cup of coffee or something. And so next month, I think our next class is on May 1st. Is that right? You know, May 1st, I believe. And it's next month we'll do doubt or indecision or something. Doubt is. So we have two more classes. We have doubt in May, and I think in June, we have June 5th. The class is called The Hindrances in Depth. This hasn't been deep enough yet. extreme hindrances. Bring your helmets. So, thank you all so much.